Hey, hey, and you know if you're listening to that music, you've got a special edition of Spiritual Perspectives. That's right, Spiritual Perspectives, taking a look at real life from, well, a spiritual perspective. This morning's edition is actually pre-recorded, so I can't invite you to call in and join in, but I definitely want you to stick around because our guest this morning is... Well, it's a unique opportunity for me. We've had an interesting part of our path that overlapped in the earlier parts of our path. Our guest this morning is now an international speaker that's lectured in over 250 cities, 13 countries, and a bazillion different continents. She's appeared on radio and television, and she's spoken in convention centers, men's prisons, women's prisons, juvenile prisons, senior centers, interfaith conferences, and other public venues. It's a broad background. She came from being a chaplain in a homeless shelter for 5 years, and she even there organized and participated in interfaith conferences, organized an adult literacy program, assisted in organizing after-school programs for minority youth, and has worked for years as well with Spanish-speaking immigrants. Now, the interesting part of this, when I got out of university with my engineering degree, my first gig was with Westinghouse. They recruited me right out of college, and I went to work for Westinghouse, and that was part of the engineering part of my background. Well, as I was reading her biography, you can't imagine how I was surprised when I got to, prior to entering the full-time healing practice, Elise worked in technical sales and marketing for almost 10 years with Westinghouse, Bell and Howell, and then her own company. So she and I were actually at Westinghouse in different parts of a very large corporation at the same time. As a businesswoman, Elise has specialized in conflict resolution, developing new markets, and providing training workshops. She's now been actively engaged in the full-time ministry of Christian healing for 25 years. And been a teacher of Christian Science since 1997. This is a full-time healing practitioner that stepped from the business world into the full-time recognition of the possibilities of healing. Everybody, this is Elise Moore. Elise, this is everybody.
I am delighted to be here with you, Scout, and that was a wonderful lead-in, and I'm really looking forward to talking about prayer and spiritual healing.
You know, one of the questions we always ask in our spiritual perspectives programming, and we lead directly into it with your topic, because one of the questions we always ask is, how do you define the verb pray or prayer? Because some people got raised of thinking of it only as now I lay me or our Father, and yet I find it more interesting to study with spiritual practitioners and find out exactly how do you define that word pray or prayer, Elise?
That is such a good question, and you pointed out part of the beauty of the answer is that there are lots of answers and lots of really good answers to that question. I find that there are many effective and successful ways to pray, and however you pray is a good way to pray. But knowing that there are many ways to pray effectively also can help us from getting stuck in just one particular manner or method of prayer. So sometimes, and you're asking the definition of prayer, I would say prayer is communion with God. And that means both our communing with God, talking with God, as well as God's communing with us, communicating to us.
So when you personally are doing this, Elise, how do you set about doing it, and what do you look for as being that communication back, as your own personal experience?
You know, I have a talk that I'm giving in Los Altos on Saturday, May 14th at 7:30 p.m. called The Possibilities of Prayer. And in this particular talk, we start off by finding from the audience how they pray. And usually people will share ways like petitionary prayer, asking God. Some people talk about giving gratitude or praising God or thanking God or acknowledging God's presence or goodness and so forth. They'll talk about many different ways in which they pray. Some people actually talk about just being quiet and walking in nature or listening for inspiration from God. But in that particular talk, I talk about two specific methods of prayer that I found particularly effective. And I have put little tags on them for my own benefit, and that is the machete method of prayer.
What?
The helicopter method of prayer.
Wait, what?
Yes. You mean you haven't heard of these methods of prayer before?
I can understand if I were going up in a helicopter and nervous about it, that I might be doing a lot of praying.
Well, the machete method of prayer is where you take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and you cut through all the vines and brambles, or all of those entanglements in your thought and in your experience. So you're using the Word of God to cut through all those entanglements until you find the solution. And the helicopter method of prayer, why, this is where you just get into that helicopter of God and let the Holy Spirit lift you up. Just lift you up above whatever the entanglements or problems are until you can see more clearly. And now, this isn't ignoring a problem. It's just not allowing the problem to overwhelm you. And so through that helicopter method of prayer, really allowing the Holy Spirit and God's inspiration to lift the entire level of your thought. And from that higher, more spiritual perspective, why, we see more clearly. And then we can discern a little more of where we need to go, and we go directly there. So those are two interesting ways to approach prayer. And if you want to hear more about those two specific ways of prayer, I encourage you to come and bring your friends to that talk, The Possibilities of Prayer, on Saturday, May 14th at 7:30 at the Los Altos High School Eagle Theater.
Great. We'll give them the direction to that in just a minute. But let me back up here. The machete method of prayer, taking the sword of Spirit. So let's say, for example, because one of the things I like to point out frequently is that healing should not be reserved for disease. And I know that in some of the examples you list, it's very, very clear that you view it that way as well. So let's say someone were experiencing a tremendous amount of fear because they thought their company was going to be having layoffs. How that might they approach releasing even just that fear using this sword of the Spirit, your machete method of prayer?
That's such a relevant example that you gave. The machete method of prayer is being rather specific in prayer. You are specifically addressing or using the machete to cut through whatever the specific fears or entanglements are in your life. So if I was doing this, Scout, and, you know, I first want to say, whenever I'm praying, the first thing I do, regardless of the method, is I just turn to God silently and ask, how should I pray? Because there are many ways to pray, and there are many ways to even use one method of prayer. And I don't want to just blindly go forward with my own best human guess. I would rather just take that moment and pray, if just for a moment, how should I pray in this instance? Mm-hmm. My experience is that God gives us an answer right away, an inspiration, an idea. Now, I just want to talk to the listeners for a second. If you do this and you turn to God and silently just pray, how should I pray, and you don't hear anything back, one of two things might be happening with you. One thing might be that you have been so busy worrying about a problem that you really haven't let go of the worry. So even though in your mind you're asking God, how should I pray, you're still so clenched on the fear and the problem that it's sort of like, having the closed door and saying, okay, now, you know, how do I get the person on the other side to enter the door, but I've got it bolted and locked five different ways.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're not hearing anything back right away, my first hint to you is, honey, just open the door. You know, unbolt the door, let that fear go so that thought from God can come right through to you. And then the second tip is, if you're honestly turning to God and you put that fear aside so you're willing to hear whatever inspiration and direction from God will come to you, and you still aren't hearing anything, my best advice to you is just trust. Trust that God has an answer for you, and probably you're in the right path. So whatever answer has previously come to you when you prayed, that's the right one for right now. And the silence from God doesn't mean that God isn't guiding you. It means the answer's already there. You need to trust a little more and go forward with the answer that's already come to you. But anyway, going back to your specific example. So the first thing I would do is I would just turn to God and ask, now how should I pray about this fear about my job? And the first thing that comes to me, and by the way, this doesn't mean it would be the first thing coming to anyone else.
Great.
So you can listen to your own inspiration from God, which will be equally important and equally valid.
So this is one of those rare cases where we would actually say, do try this on your own at home.
That's exactly right. Do try this on your own and trust the answer that comes to you from God. But the first thing that comes to me is to reverse some of the premises. Whenever I'm trying to use the machete method of prayer to cut through fear, instead of looking at the outcome or the symptom, I really try to think about the premise. And so the premise here, one premise might be that my income, my resources, my job is a physical human thing at a particular company,
mm-hmm.
organization.
Mm-hmm.
Let's shift the premise to God directly is the source of my income and the source of all of the resources that I need. The source of ideas, the source of support, whatever I need comes directly from God, not through a conduit.
An absolute truth, but a hard step to take sometimes.
It can be a hard step, but you know what? The benefits of doing that are incredible.
Mm-hmm.
With that comprehension that God is the source of good, God is the source of resources, every inspiration, every right idea comes from God, then we know we have an inseparable, direct, eternal connection with the source of all good, and we have a permanent job. Our permanent job is receiving. It's being receptive to God's inspiration, God's guidance, and God's ideas. And then all we need to do is be receptive and put those good ideas into practice. You know, I've had a lot of experience with jobs, and I've actually written a lot of articles about this, employment, prayer and employment. And for those people that are interested, I have a website, elisemoore.com, where I have over 250 articles that I've written on prayer and healing there. And you can sort of poke around if you wish and find some things that might be helpful.
Mm-hmm.
But I tell some stories in this lecture, The Possibilities of Prayer, that I'm doing in Los Altos on Saturday, May 14th. But one of the stories that I've written about that isn't in that particular talk, I was happily employed, actually, for a division of Westinghouse. But it had come to me very strongly that I needed to move along, and so I was praying about that. And so I found another division of Westinghouse to work for, and then I wasn't so happily employed. Difficult to explain, but I was working with a lot of men, and there was just a lot of harassment. And
I think everybody can relate to, I wasn't happily employed anymore.
Yeah, I wasn't happily employed. And, you know, it was just an unhappy situation. And every morning as I was driving to work, I would just pray to God. I was doing a petitionary prayer. You know, God, please help me find something else, anything else. So I'm driving to work one day and praying this petitionary prayer very sincerely. And I want to tell you, it was almost like a voice coming to me, and it was, stop looking. And I was so startled, I actually pulled off the side of the road. And I said, what? What do you mean, stop looking? I'm really miserable in this job. And but that was the thought, stop looking. And I have learned to listen to these inspirations and ideas that come from God. And so instead of arguing with that, I just humbly asked them, what should I do? Because I really am unhappy here. So what should I do? And the thought that came to me very clearly was two spiritual qualities. Work on these two spiritual qualities. And I sat there thinking, well, yeah, I'm not very good at that. and I can't remember both of them right now. This is a few years ago, but one of them was related to being shy, that I needed to be a little more open with people that I didn't know. And so anyway, I thought about that, and I thought, okay, then what I can do during the day today, instead of thinking about all the tasks and all the little assignments that I have during the day, I'm really going to be practicing these two qualities, these two spiritual qualities, and I'm going to try and express them more today in the tasks that I'm doing.
Fabulous.
So that's what I did.
At least we're going to cut away for just a second.
Yes?
We're going to cut away for just a second. First of all, I want to remind people that she's invited you to her website, elisemore.com. That's spelled E-L-I-S-E-M-O-O-R-E, elisemore.com. But we want to break away for just a second to give you more of the details about how you can attend the lecture that she's going to be doing right here in the Bay Area.
Come explore the possibilities of prayer at a lecture given by international Christian speaker Elise Moore. The lecture will be held at 7:30 on Saturday evening, May 14th, at the Los Altos High School Eagle Theater. You will learn how to pray effectively for yourself and others, and will hear examples of healings of unemployment, earache, and cancer, all through the power of God.
Hey, if you're listening to that music, you know you're joining a special edition of SpiritualPerspectives.com. Spiritual Perspectives. Spiritual Perspectives right here on the radio, and it's being originated on KEST in San Francisco. It's simulcast on KESTradio.com, and you can actually find archives of this program on lifeinsights.net if you click the radio station, the radio button. But right now you are listening to Spiritual Perspectives, taking a look at real life from a spiritual perspective. Our guest this morning is Elise Moore. She invites you to read her stories on her website, elisemore.com. But we're right in the middle of, turns out she and I have an alma mater in common. We both worked for Westinghouse as technical support in their sales department when we were early out of our university years. And Elise was talking about having moved into a job situation that was less happy. And as she was petitioning, doing a petitionary prayer, I love that phrase. I usually just call it whining to God. Yours sounds so much better, but maybe you do it better than I do it. A petitionary prayer of what should I do? And she got a message back. And Elise, if you can just repeat what was the first part of that message, and then how did you follow that up?
Well, the first part of the message was stop looking.
Wow.
The second part, yes, amazingly. And the second part, as I turned to God and said, well, then what should I do? The thought came to work on two specific spiritual qualities and to express that during my day. And so that's what I began doing. And each day I would pray to God, what qualities do I need to express today? And each day God would give me one or two qualities. And some of them were, for example, qualities from the Bible that you might recognize from a Bible passage. It's Galatians 5, verses 22 and 23, and it's known as the fruit of the Spirit. And it talks about qualities like love, joy, peace, patience, temperance, which is self-control, meekness, and so forth. Anyway, some of the qualities came out of that Bible passage. Some of them were other qualities. And each day I would pray about what qualities to express, and then I would practice doing that during the day. Mm-hmm. And interestingly, at the end of maybe 9 months of doing this, I was very happy in my job. Extremely happy. I'd just gotten a promotion. I was going to get more money. All the problems just seemed to have disappeared and dissipated. And I was happy in this job. And as I prayed one morning, again asking God for what qualities should I be working with today, unbelievably, the answer to me that day was, now, look now for another job. I couldn't have been more surprised, because here now I was happy in this job, and I'd gotten the promotion. I was really happy. But I so learned to listen for God's guidance and know that resources come from God. The inspiration comes from God. the divine ideas come from God, and the ability to fulfill those divine ideas also comes from God. And so I'm so accustomed to turning to God rather than looking at just a human situation for feedback. I knew then that was my answer. I needed to look for a job right then. So, and without questioning that, I did. I got a new job within a month. I was in that new job. And about a year later, I found out from some, you know, my former colleagues and friends from that other location, that the promotion that I had, the people that were promoted into that place ended up being the scapegoats for an unsuccessful project. And I would not have been in a happy position at all. And yet here I was in a brand new job and was highly successful and ended up being very happy in that job. But I could not have possibly known that humanly a year before. But God, as the divine mind, and that's one of the scriptural names for God, is divine mind. Those of you interested in scriptures, it's in Philippians 2, verse 5, that talks about having the mind that was also in Christ. But this divine mind actually does see more, know more than the human mind ever can. And so this is one method of praying, just turning to God with that conviction that God is the source of resources, the source of inspiration, of good, of guidance, seeing much more than the human mind can ever see. And then you find yourself being in the right place at the right time, instead of just looking at the outward circumstances and reacting to outward circumstances.
So there's a real place here, because oddly enough, this is another similar experience we've shared, but a real place here I'm noticing is that there's two steps that seem to summarize a portion of what came out of your prayer. One of them being recognizing that the solution didn't have to come from you or your own mind, but the other being also stepping out of the place that we can fall into so easily of those other people are in charge of me. Those other people are in charge of my results. And you found that as you made a shift inside yourself in these circumstances, as you made a shift inside yourself, practicing what you were getting as a response to your prayer, that your surroundings and your experience of your surroundings also changed outside yourself.
That is so well put, and that's exactly what happens, isn't it? Mm-hmm. We see God as the source of action, God as the source of thought, God as the source of all good resources, then instead of our trying to manipulate things on our own, we're really receiving. We're receiving the good, the inspiration, the activity from God, and then we're expressing that in our own lives.
And yet there's a definite stepping up about it, where you had to step up on your side of it, and it's not just a whining, oh, God, take me out of this horrible place. You had to be willing to step up and live out these aspects of yourself that you were receiving in prayer.
And that's why one of the reasons I call it a machete method of prayer. Machete method, you actually have to do something, don't you?
Yeah, it's true.
I mean, you know, the machete is sitting there, but hello, someone needs to pick it up and wield it.
And then you have to walk forward through the path you cut.
Right. That's exactly right. So we have something to do. We're not just waiting on God to do it all for us. We are receiving. We are receiving the inspiration and ideas from God. Then we pick up that machete and put it to use. You know, I've found that there are four aspects that are very important in any healing prayer, no matter how someone is praying, no matter what the situation that you're facing. But for a prayer to really be an effective healing prayer, I found that there are four elements in that prayer. And these four elements are stated in a book that I read regularly. It's entitled Science and Health, with Key to the Scriptures by Mary Baker Eddy. Mary Baker Eddy is the founder of the Christian Science denomination. Now, this is not Scientology, by the way. This is a Christian Science denomination that relies on the teachings of Christ Jesus for our direction and guidance. And so she wrote a book talking about her experiences and also talking about effective prayer and healing. And the first sentence of the book really summarizes what the book is about, and she gives the four elements that are present in a healing prayer right in that first sentence. So I'm just going to read the sentence and then just mention what these four elements are.
Great.
The prayer that reforms the sinner and heals the sick is an absolute faith that all things are possible to God. a spiritual understanding of Him, and unself-love. So the four elements that are present in a prayer that really moves us forward, that heals, that reforms, first, an absolute faith. That faith and conviction in good is really critical to prayer. And second, knowing that God is capable, that all things are possible to God. I somehow found when people are praying that underneath it all, no matter what the words that they're using in prayer, but underneath it all, they have a doubt that this situation could ever be solved by God. And we really have to be open and address that first, because that would almost erase our prayer before we're done praying it.
Mm-hmm.
We need to watch that we aren't erasing, you know, writing a prayer like on a blackboard and then erasing it with the other hand before it even has a chance to take effect in our thoughts. So we want to have that certainty that all things are possible to God. Then the other two elements are a spiritual understanding of God. What that means is not seeing God as just a human being interfering in your little human life. Seeing God as the greater divine, supreme, divine mind, divine love, the infinite presence and spirit that is ever present and much greater and grander than any of our little human minds might be. And then the last element was an unself-love. And that's no ego.
I'm sorry, could you say that again?
Unselfish
love.
Yes, unselfish love. So these are the four elements that I've found, regardless of how you're praying, but for a prayer to really be effective, they all seem to include these elements. That mm-hmm. absolute faith, a conviction that it's possible for God to help you, some spiritual understanding of Him, and love.
So you've worked in a number of different prison formats, Elise, and I'm wondering what sort of transformations have you watched people be able to do under those sorts of circumstances? Because it's a great example that, you know, when I'm out of my life, maybe I'm not happy in my job, maybe I'm, you know, maybe money's really tight, and those all seem really harsh, but they're not as nearly as harsh a backdrop as trying to change my perspective when I'm incarcerated.
You know, I have a talk that I give in prisons, and it's called God is Speaking to You. And the premise of this talk is that God is speaking to each one of us 24 hours a day with exactly what we need to know and hear at that moment. And I've worked with people not only in prison, but after they've gotten out of prison when I was a chaplain at the homeless agency.
Mm-hmm.
And I found that these individuals often are more in tune with their spirituality than others. They've really taken some time to address some of the issues, and they're very well aware of problem areas in their lives. Also, I've found that they often take the time to really study the Bible and become familiar with God's Word and what some of these Bible and scriptural passages are. And they often have their own very favorite Bible passages and so on. And so when I'm working with this particular population, my first premise is a great respect for their spirituality. I never assume that they don't have that deep spiritual sense and connection with God. I assume they do.
Ah.
And then we build on that premise, that they do have this deep connection with God.
Mm-hmm.
And they can listen to that and allow God to direct them and sort of overcome maybe the anger or the fear or the lack of self-control that, you know, all of us battle. But sometimes with this population, it seems to be a greater battle. And so how we can utilize that Word of God and listen more to that Word of God. And I found this is very effective. I'm thinking of one particular situation, and this individual was not in prison at that moment. It was a person that had gotten out of prison, but we were, you know, we were talking, and he didn't have a job, and he didn't have any hopes for a job, and pretty angry and bitter about the whole situation. And
so in
our conversation, I just asked that we just be quiet for a moment and just listen. Listen for what God was telling him, what God's saying to him really at that moment, with the conviction that God truly is speaking to us. We were just silent for a moment. And he said, well, he said, you know, some ideas had already come to him before. And I said, you know, why don't you trust those ideas and act on those inspirations that had come to you? And he was really hesitant to do that. He was still, you know, exhibiting a lot of anger. And I just encouraged him that this is truly the word of God coming to him. And if he would put aside his anger and act on the good idea coming to him, that would be the right one for him. Mm-hmm. Within 2 weeks, this guy had a job and had straightened out his life, had come back to the agency, had talked to his counselor there, and the counselor spoke to me and said it was a complete turnaround in this guy's life. And he asked me what I'd said to him, and I said, well, not a whole lot. I just asked him to really be still and listen to what God was already telling him.
You know, you're describing listening to what God's already telling us, and I'm listening very closely to how you're describing it. And it's very, very much, one could almost phrase some of these, at least, as getting quiet enough to notice the thoughts surfacing in your own mind that maybe are out of kilter with the rest of the na-na-na-na-na-na-na about how bad it is. Just being quiet enough to notice those things. It's not like burning bushes or suddenly sudden appearances and bursts of light, but it's getting quiet enough to hear those, we'll call it counteractive thoughts that are surfacing that are different than just the routine background. Does that make sense, or would you phrase that differently?
Oh, that completely makes sense. And you have such a great spiritual sense and a way of putting things. One of the ways that I put this, let me back up a second.
Yes.
It can be helpful to think about, how can I discern the difference in my thoughts?
Yes.
I mean, just my own complaints or my own wishful thinking. And when it's really an inspiration coming to me directly from God,
mm-hmm.
how can I tell the difference? Well, I do have several tips for the listeners.
Oh, great.
As to how you can tell the difference. And the first one is, thoughts and feelings from God will be good. They'll be good and moral. If you think and the thought comes to you to rob the local 7-Eleven, that would not be a thought from God. Thoughts from God will always be good and moral. Then the next tip is, thoughts from God are a blessing to others as well as a blessing to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is an important one, because sometimes we get an idea that is helpful to us. It lifts us up. It's for our benefit, but it might tend to push down or harm people around us. That wouldn't be a thought from God.
Yeah, it's never going to be a win the competition factor.
A thought from God is really a thought that blesses everyone around us as well as blessing us. So, in fact, my favorite female theologian, this woman who wrote the book Science and Health, the Key to the Scriptures, Mary Baker Eddy, she has a phrase that I find so helpful to think about, and it is, what blesses one blesses all.
I'm sorry, we had a little pop. We had a pop
that.
Right
what
there.
What blesses one blesses all. So if it's a thought from God, it's really going to be a blessing to everyone around you as well as yourself. And so, I'll give just one other tip. There are lots of ways to discern when it's a thought from God rather than just your own wishful thinking. But one other way to discern when it's a thought from God is, thoughts from God have an authority with them. It's almost a command that is impelling you to do something or to not do something. And you're feeling this command in your thought to do or not do something. And, it's not called the Ten Recommendations. It's called the Ten Commandments. And that's because God is commanding us to put God first, to honor our parents, to not steal, not kill, and so forth. These are commands. And this is a commanding authority from God. And often these thoughts and feelings from God have that sense of command and authority with them. Just make sure you double check with those first two tips. Especially in working with the prison population, I found that there is a tendency for them to have almost like a radio station in thought that's broadcasting self kinds of thoughts. It would be good for me, but it would harm someone else, and I don't care. And it's all, and they do feel very, authoritative and like they're being, impelled to do this. Some of us might call this mental illness.
Yeah, that's certainly the broadcast of concept that's running through the society they're living in at that moment.
Right, that's correct. So that's why I gave the first two tips first. A thought from God is going to be good and moral.
Good and moral.
It's going to be good and moral. And it's going to be a blessing to those around us as well as to ourselves.
A blessing to others as well as a blessing to self.
That's right. Blessing to others as well as ourselves. So then, if you get that commanding, impelled feeling that you must do something, as long as it's good and moral, as long as it's a blessing to everyone around us, that is a thought from God.
Mm-hmm. Cool. So we're talking a lot about what ends up being healing, even though that's not the normal popular description of the word. It's like, again, I frequently remind people that healing is not to be reserved for disease. There's another set of books called The Course in Miracles. I don't know if you've bumped into them, but one of the concepts I love is that they present that there's no hierarchy of miracles. There's no bigger and smaller miracles. Miracles are simply miracles. And I noticed that there's a fun list in the write-up about the possibility of prayer that you'll be presenting that talks about healings of unemployment, earache, and cancer. Talk about a lack of hierarchy. Healing, unemployment, earache, and cancer, and yet they're all manifestations of prayer and praying effectively.
That's correct. And, I just want to mention, I'm familiar with that particular book about miracles. And one of the things I so love about science and health, it's not a how-to book in the same kind of way, but it does shift the whole premise of our thought and of how we pray. And it shifts the premise from starting from just the physical appearance of things and then looking at divine intervention as being miraculous. It shifts the premise to where we're starting with God's view of creation as being a spiritual, divine creation and emanation of God, which is divine love. God is divine love and divine life.
Mm-hmm.
And so coming from this spiritual perspective, then healing is more revealing the divine.
Ooh, say that again.
Healing. Healing is more a revealing of the divine.
Ooh.
You shift your perspective. In other words, how you start your thought process is so important. If we're starting from a material perspective, then a healing looks like a miraculous divine intervention in a physical world. But let's shift together to where we're starting from a godly God perspective first. And we're starting from that spiritual view, that divine view of God as the creator of all that is good and harmonious, of all that is healthy, that God perspective of the allness of good, as this is defined in Genesis 1, but anyway.
The allness of good, I like that.
Allness of good is defined in Genesis 1. For those of you interested in this, you can read it later. It's Genesis 1, verses 27 and, 27 to verse 31 talks about God creating everything good. In fact, that particular statement is repeated 7 times in that chapter. Isn't that amazing?
Wow.
So you're starting from the perspective of the allness of good, the allness of God, this divine view of creation. And then coming out from that divine view of creation, healing is revealing the divine.
That's a very interesting stepping out of the it's wrong, it's wrong, it's wrong, oh my God, it's right, and stepping into it's right but confused, it's right but confused. Ah, we're back.
Yes, that's it, Scalp. And then God is not so much intervening in a miraculous way in our lives. God is the divine life. God's creation is this good, harmonious, healthy, present creation of God, and it's being revealed. Our prayer is helping us to see the goodness of God that is going on all around us.
Mm-hmm.
I love praying this way. I love praying this way because it's a complete different shift in the foundation of thought. And I found sometimes that solutions come to problems that had seemed insolvable to us when we shift the premise, you know, beginning the premise of our thought to this godly premise, to this spiritual premise, and then pray out from that. It's like we can see more of God's presence and power that way.
You know, that fits right in with a quote from Albert Einstein where he said, "No problem can be solved from within the same thought system that created it."
Yes, that's a really interesting comment. And so by shifting the perspective, and this, by the way, is what I'm really trying to do in the talk that I'm giving Saturday, May 14th at 7:30 in Los Altos High School Eagle Theater called The Possibilities of Prayer. We're really going to shift the perspective from just looking at the world and starting from our worldly view to shifting to a more spiritual perspective, coming out from a more godly way of thinking, and then seeing how we can apply this to our present human situation. And this is a powerful way to pray. I find that as individuals do this, and by the way, this book, Science and Health, the Key to the Scriptures, there are some specific pages in this book, and you can get this book at any Christian Science reading room. You can get it online at Amazon.com, Science and Health, the Key to the Scriptures, by Mary Baker Eddy. And there are some pages in this for the listeners who might be interested in making this shift in the premise of how you think. Page 275 on that book is a summary page about scriptural thoughts of God. And it talks about the starting point of our prayer and our thoughts, and then it gives several scriptural ideas about God. If you start from this perspective, your prayer will, you know, really be more effective and different. And so it gives things like the starting point is God's Spirit is all in all, you know, starting with the Holy Spirit. God is love. There's no other might or mind than God. Now, these are some of those starting places that have you start from that spiritual divine view, and then your prayer is revealing more of what God is doing. So that's page 275 in Science and Health. Another wonderful page is page 335. And that's all about the Holy Spirit. And it's helping you to start from that spiritual perspective, seeing God as the creator of spiritual good and how things look from that view. So those two particular pages can be very helpful if you're interested in shifting your perspective from, you know, the worldly view to a more spiritual, godly view, and then praying out from that view.
Ah, perfect. And I'd like to remind people that Elise also invites you to her website, Elise Moore, ElisemoRe, EliseMoore.com. And we're going to give you the information about this Los Altos lecture that we've got coming up, The Possibilities of Prayer. But I also want to quickly mention that you can find in Elise's website the information for two additional talks that she's going to be doing here in the Bay Area, which will be in Spanish. So if you'd like to hear it in Spanish and in English, you can follow all three of these. Here's the information on how to meet with Elise and get to hear her talk in Los Altos.
Come explore the possibilities of prayer at a lecture given by international Christian speaker Elise Moore. The lecture will be held at 7:30 on Saturday evening, May 14th. at the Los Altos High School Eagle Theater. You will learn how to pray effectively for yourself and others, and will hear examples of healings of unemployment, earache, and cancer, all through the power of God.
Hey, you know, if you're listening to that music, you're listening to a special edition of Spiritual Perspectives. Spiritual Perspectives, where we take a look at real life from, well, a spiritual perspective. Our guest this morning is Elise Moore, ELISEMOORE.com. You can find her if you go look for her online in her website. But even more so, she's going to be here in the Bay Area doing a set of lectures, English, but also some lectures in Spanish, talking about the possibilities of prayer. I'll mention that Elise has referenced a couple of times, I'll just slow it down, the textbook Science and Health with Keys to the Scriptures by Mary Baker Eddy. The pages she just mentioned were pages 235 and 335. If you want to make notes to go check into that, you can find the book on Amazon. But also, I always like to mention that when this book was written, science had a very definitive meaning. It's gotten a little warped now because you walk down your grocery store aisle and you see the word science jumping off the shelf at you on a bottle of whisk, which is true. But at the time that this book was written, science was really about the objective study of cause and effect and repeatable results. Along with being an amazing text for transforming your thinking, it's also a very solidly researched text in classic science, meaning A plus B equals C, and you can repeat that result on your own. So everything that Elise is talking about today, unlike those other programs where they say don't try it on your own at home, this is absolutely do try it on your own at home. So Elise, you were just talking about shifting out of a perspective that the real world is wrong and we've got to make it right, and instead stepping back one step further to see it from a state of perfection and then allow it to reveal that perfection. Now, one might be able to wrap their mind about that in terms of changing my attitude and giving myself an upgrade of attitude. But how about, what have you seen as results of this in terms of people having physical transformation from a state of dis-ease back into a state closer to that original perfection?
Oh, that's just so true. And by the way, I want to mention that the page was 275, as
Oops.
In 275.
Thank you.
That was all about God, and then 335 is correct. That was about the Holy Spirit.
Oops, thanks.
So one of my earliest experiences with this shift in perspective was on my birthday when I was 6 years old. My parents gave me this wonderful bike, and it was a big bike without the training wheels, and I was so excited with this gift. And we lived on a little cul-de-sac, no traffic or anything, and I was out riding my bike around the cul-de-sac, enjoying myself thoroughly. And I don't know what happened, but this and that happened, and I got literally between a rock and a curb.
Oops.
And fell off and hit my head on the curb. And next thing I remember, I wake up, my dad's carrying me into the house, and all the neighbors are out asking if I'm okay, and he was assuring them I was fine. But I looked down, and I was sobbing, but I looked down and I was bleeding all over his shirt. I had almost bit through my lower lip. And so my parents took me into their bedroom and laid me down on the bed. And they didn't rush off to the hospital. There wasn't a lot of flurry going on. My parents very much were practicing this spiritual way of thinking and feeling, where you're starting from the godly perspective, the spiritual perspective of God's government and God's spiritual universe, rather than starting with just the material symptoms and then trying to fix them. So they put me down on the bed, and I remember that one of them picked up the Bible and started to read to me, and the other one was silently praying. And after a few minutes, I stopped crying, mainly because I wanted to hear what was being read.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't remember what they were reading to me, but I do remember, after just maybe, 10 or 15 minutes, I just had this, it was a tangible feeling of the presence of God with me. It was just such a sense of calm, a spiritual calm and a spiritual peace. And it wasn't that I was thinking or praying anything in specific at that moment. There was just this very spiritual sense of God's presence with me. And I went to sleep, and my parents weren't worried about that. When I woke up, not only was all the pain gone, my lip had completely knit together. There was no scar, no evidence that any injury had taken place.
Wow.
Even more than that, that feeling of God's peaceful, calming, loving presence with me, I still felt that. I just felt that wonderful presence and embrace of God as divine love. And I think I remember that experience, that healing, so much because of that spiritual feeling of God's presence and love, not because of the bicycle or the physical injury at all, but that spiritual sense. It stays with you always.
Mm-hmm.
And so in spiritual healing, when we begin with God's allness and goodness and presence, then as you're feeling more of God's love for you, you really have that sense of you are connecting with the divine universe, that divine, real, spiritual universe of God's creating that's really present right now.
Mm-hmm. And connecting into a place where you're being it is what I'm hearing you describe. You're feeling it through your whole being and your body elevated to match that rather than matching the collision with the curb.
Yes, that's right. And certainly, God, divine mind, is supreme over human thought. And in fact, you were giving a wonderful definition of science. I loved your definition of science. Sometimes people ask, well, why apply the term Christianity to science? Why Christian science? Well, isn't it because that if you're looking at the spiritual universe from this godly spiritual perspective, then Christ Jesus' teachings are really explaining the divine science, the science of God, God's government, God's divine laws that govern the universe. And so it's an explanation, the Christ explanation of the divine.
Now, I noticed that you're...
It is a spiritual science.
Sorry. I noticed that you're reversing a term that sometimes other buildings that get the label churches, they put it as Jesus Christ, as if it's one word. And I noticed you're specifically saying Christ Jesus. Why that differentiation?
You are really sharp, Scout. I use them interchangeably. I will say Jesus Christ, but sometimes when I'm trying to speak spiritually and indicate more of that spiritual divine, I'll put Christ first, because Christ, actually both in the Old and the New Testament, the word that's translated Christ is related also to Emmanuel, which means God with us.
Ah.
This sense of the divine presence. So if I'm talking about starting with the divine, the spiritual, I have a tendency to say Christ Jesus, because I want to really emphasize that divinity, the divine presence. Jesus was presenting the divine laws of God to human thought, to the human world. And if I'm starting just talking about the human world, I will often start with just Jesus Christ. But there's just a wonderful sense of power and connection when you think of the Christ as that divine message from God coming to us. And in fact, that's a definition of Christ that I find very helpful. I found that in the book Science and Health, The Key to the Scriptures. That concept of the Christ is the divine message from God to men and women, coming to us. And that means coming to us right now. You know, you don't have to feel that you missed out because you weren't living 2,000 years ago when Jesus was physically present on earth.
Right.
That Christ divine message that Jesus embodied and brought, that Christ message is right here with us today. And it's helping us connect with the divine universe of God's creating, of which we are a part. It's sort of revealing our real spiritual nature and identity.
Fabulous. I am so glad I asked that question. Elise, we're coming right down to the tail end of the time that we can spend together today. If there were one or two sentences you wanted people to take away and ponder for the rest of their day, what would they be?
You know, I want to assure every listener that God is loving you. God is cherishing you. God sees all the good that is in you. God sees all the good that you are doing, and even the good that you want to do. God's always protecting you. God's caring for you. God is guiding you. You're never alone. God's always with you. And God is loving you. And with God, all things are possible.
Thank you so much. We've been talking with Elise Moore. You can find out more on her website, elisemoore.com. She's going to be here in the Bay Area presenting. Listen for the ad. You'll get the rest of the details of when she'll be in Los Altos. But if you look on her website, you'll also see she'll be doing Spanish language presentations in the city and in Los Altos. And you have been listening to none other than Spiritual Perspectives, originating out of KEST in San Francisco, simulcast on KESTradio.com. This is Scout Bartlett asking you to treat yourself as a loved one because you truly are, and reminding you that no matter where on the world you are, it's a perfect day for you to have a great day on purpose.